have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Thriver Nation. Oh, I'm getting a little tongue-tied here tonight. How is everyone doing? Oh, I'm so happy to be back with you all. It seems like it takes so long to get back to Sundays. I'm so happy to be here. I am your host, Lady Michelle, and you are listening to Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. And this platform is really centered around education of domestic violence, toxic relationships, the different forms of trauma, some self-love, self-care, and finding your voice. And that's just to name a few things that we're going to talk about over here. But what I want you to know is Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle was really designed with you in mind. It was designed to enlighten, to educate, to inspire, and to empower you. And I'm just excited about all of the things that we will all learn together on here, and we will all be able to just help each other through the different processes that we went go through. And so you know I got to make my disclaimer, y'all. Y'all know I do have to make it. And so my disclaimer is always remember that we will never conduct any therapy sessions on this show. However, we absolutely encourage you to seek professional help if you need it. Now, I usually say that two times, but I'm going to give y'all just one time this week and go with what you know. Absolutely. If you need that help, please, 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 please get it. Be sure to also follow us on YouTube. Follow us on our YouTube page, Speak Your Peace with Lady Michelle. Make sure you like and share. Be sure to hit the notification button so you'll never miss a show. And just keep up with what we're doing over there. We got a lot of stuff planned for you guys over there, all right? Now, here's the best part right here. Here's the best part. I need everyone to help me give a huge shout-out to my amazing producer and the visionary of the Elation family, Dr. Kimmy Kim. Yay! We love her so much, and we are so excited about all the things that she's doing. Yes, yes, yes. And we know with the Elation family, we have the Elation magazine, we have the Elation radio, we have Ashes to Beauty, which is on Clubhouse. Be sure to check us out every Friday evening. I believe that's about 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have so many amazing women who we are all over the world. We are in different time zones. So I believe we are Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. All right? And we have so much more. So that is our introduction. I know that was a lot, right? That's our introduction. But here is, this is it right here, the introduction of our guest. I am just elated to have this person here with us tonight. I'm telling you, first of all, I have a whole biography here on this phenomenal woman, but I'm going to really let her tell you everything herself. But what I want to say to you is, you know, please know, I know we had a great guest last week, and then we had somebody before that, but each week it is my endeavor to really take it up a notch every time. And I think we did that tonight. We had this ball of energy here tonight on the show. And I'll just give you just a little synopsis, and then I'm going to bring her on. But I will say this. There was a time in her life when drugs had a stronghold on her. She even watched people laugh at her when she decided to walk away from that lifestyle. But now she is the founder and CEO of From Under a Bridge Incorporated, and she is building a safe haven for women brick by brick. She is an actress and has authored several books, which she's going to tell you all about them tonight. Y'all help me welcome Miss Blossom Rogers.
Hey, girl,
Blossom,
how you doing?
Hey.
How you doing?
I am doing well. It is so good to talk to you again. I mean, we've spoken before. You've been on my previous shows, but it's so good to hear from you again.
God be the glory. I want to thank you for allowing me to come on your platform, and to your producer, my little sister, Dr. Kimmy Kim. It's just truly a blessing to hang out with you. I still call her my little sister. I know she's a grown woman, but I still call her my little sister. But God is just good. I am so proud of you, girl. God is truly using you in a mighty way. So you just keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Listen, that is amazing coming from you. I mean, I'm telling you, I love what he's doing in both of our lives. We have endured so much concerning what we experience with domestic violence, but that's my whole platform, is really helping women. And we know that there's some men as well, find their voice, helping them to overcome the domestic violence, the toxic relationships, all of those different things that really try to keep us in bondage, but overcoming that. So thankful when I see you doing things, you're an actress. I mean, you're going to have to, like, break all of this down to us tonight. But what I want you to do is, because I know your story, but my audience may not know it, I want you to just tell us a little bit about how it all started and, you know, what some of the things that happened.
Well, you know, first of all, I give God all the glory, because if it wasn't for him, I don't know where I would be. And, you know, I'm not ashamed of nothing I've been through, because, you know, one thing, when you know who you are and who you belong to, God has taught me I don't have to worry about who don't like me, who talks about me. Now, 17 years ago, for your listeners that don't know me, I smoked crack for 19 years, but God, I have 17 years clean. And I tell people, I like to, you know, you got to be real. When I could be real with Blossom, I could be real with anybody else. And I like it, everything about smoking crack. I like the fast life, I was out there doing things that I was not raised to do, which we'll get into that later. But one thing about it, I didn't like the consequences, okay? And that meant that I was a crackhead. That meant that I was an alcoholic. That meant that I was an unfit mother. That meant that I was a prostitute. That meant that I was a lesbian. And the list goes on. We need to tell our testimony because somebody's going through what I've been through, or they're going through it now, or they got a loved one, you know. And to anybody who's listening, God has blessed me. I am the author of 4 books, From Under a Bridge 1, From Under a Bridge 2, and They Laugh, and When They Laugh. And I want you to remember that there's 2 kinds of laughter. Are they laughing with you or at you? You know, because you got a lot of people that say they got your back, but when things go down, you'll see who's still standing. And one thing about God, he said that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, and I have learned that. I used to hear that a lot as a little girl, then a teenager, then a young adult, but I actually know that for a fact, and I thank God that he would never leave us nor forsake us. Book number one tells you what led me to smoking crack cocaine. I was smoking $500 to $600 a day. I was a crackhead. By me going, yeah. And like I said, sis, I'm not ashamed. You know what? Because I wasn't ashamed when I was out there, so I'm not going to be ashamed now. And like I said, when you know who you are, it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? Because each time God allows me to go on a platform to tell my story, it's more and more healing. You know what I'm saying? So all is well. Like I said, going through molestation, and I want to talk about that because you know what? So many with us African Americans, we want to hide everything. We don't want to talk about molestation, or we don't want to talk about mental illness. And them are two big M's that we need to deal with. When I was coming up, you couldn't go to the school and tell the teacher that Daddy was doing this or Uncle Bubba was doing that. That was a no-no because we was taught whatever happens in the house stays in the house. And we realized that we're sicker. We're just as sick as our secret. So I talk about how I got pregnant at an early age, thinking that God was going to take me away from it, you know, what I was going through. But as we know, a baby don't keep no man. Talk about how I got married at an early age. I was supposed to be walking down the aisle to get my high school diploma, but I was walking down the aisle marrying my first husband. He was stationed at Fort Bragg, and when he said money, travel, I said, oh, I can get away. But we can't run from our problems. We just can't. Believe me, I tried several times. And so when that marriage didn't work out, I ended up going back home and got pregnant from another guy. Yes, I had 3 babies by the age of 23. I didn't know what love meant, because my childhood had been snatched from me. You know what I'm saying? I had became a people pleaser. So I have to watch myself now, because as we know, the first time you do something that a person don't like, they'll cut you off. So I had to learn that the hard way over and over and over again. That's a test I don't want to have to go back through again. Book number two tells you how I've been to prison. My prison number is 589931. I had it number for the rest of my life. It's just not a functioning number. It talks about how I was delivered from a homosexual lifestyle because I had been molested and raped. I thought going with a woman was better. But as we know, and I'm not talking about nobody's story but Blossom. I want to clear that because so many people say, you understand? I'm talking about what Blossom did. I'm not talking about what Shanae or Boozilla did. I'm talking about what Blossom did. You know, because you know, people are always there trying to say she was talking about me. No, baby, I'm talking about Blossom. You know, I had indulged in that. And back then, I was so confused. I would have married that woman if I could. That's just how confused I am. So when I see people who are going through stuff that I went through, something in their life had to have happened. Because let me tell you one thing. Like with my abuser, still love him, still call him daddy because he raised me. You know what I'm saying? But something had to have happened to him in order to inflict that on me. We just don't grow up saying we want to molest a child. You know what I'm saying? We just don't grow up saying we want to smoke crack. We just don't grow up saying we want to be an alcoholic. You know, so God had to teach me, and I want y'all to listen to it very well. God has to teach you how to forgive. You know what I'm saying? The forgiveness is not for that person. The forgiveness is for you. So God had to teach me how to forgive and him, and then God had to teach me how to forgive myself, because when I knew better, I should have done better. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not no angel. I just didn't end up on the bridge because I was smoking crack, because I did a lot of nasty things out there. And whatever we sow, we shall reap. So I'm not perfect, but I serve a perfect God. So I tell a lot of people, you know, God bless me. I have 3 sons, all grown. I have 12 grandbabies, and I have 2.5 great-grandchildren, because I got another one on the way. And I give God the glory that I'm able to say great-grand, because some of my friends didn't get to see their children grow up. Yes, I was an unfit mother, but by the grace of God, I gave my children to my grandmother and my great-grandmother and my mother. They raised my kids so they didn't have to go in through the system, because I was careless. All I wanted to do was smoke crack, and they were getting in my way. You know, so I know somebody saying, dog, she said it. But you got to be real about that.
Yeah,
because they were stopping me from getting my dough. You know what I'm saying? So my mother and my great-grandmother, they stepped in and kept the gate. They kept that gate. Now, it took a minute for me to get a relationship back with them, because, you know what, I maybe didn't sexually or physically abuse them, but we have different type of abuse, and I put them through mental abuse because they wanted mama. They didn't hate me. They hated the things that I was out there doing. But I didn't know what real love was, because I thought that's how a daddy is supposed to love the child, the things that were being done to me. No, he never entered me, but he fondled me. And I want people to realize fondling is a form of molestation. Anytime that a grown-up is touching a child in an inappropriate area, it's a form of molestation. You know, so you have older people. You got older people that have never been able to tell how they were touched and did, you know, 80 and eight, they're in the 80s and the 90s, and they still haven't told anybody what they've been through, you know. So I feel in my spirit that God has raised me up to break that generational curse, you know what I'm saying? Is it easy telling my story? In the beginning, I was scared. I remember looking out into the audience, and when I started talking about the lifestyle of going with the woman, I had this other woman turned her nose up at me. And I was like, you know, now the flesh part want to jump out there on her, because how dare you turn your nose up at me? You know, because God is still working with me, because I was a fighter. I've always been a fighter, you know what I'm saying? And I really wanted to jump on her. But you know what? I had to stop and say, well, if your husband cheated on you and came back home to you, that's a threesome. So don't get it twisted. You know, you understand what I'm saying? You got to be honest about that thing, because you know what? So many of us Christians, we're going to be accountable when we stand before the Lord. And because we have did things to people or looked down at or said something about somebody, we're going to be accountable for that. We're supposed to win souls for the kingdom. That's what we are supposed to be doing. Now, yes, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Don't get it twisted. But I let people know I'm saved and sanctified, but I'm not soft. There's nothing soft about me. I still know how to fight. I still know how to cuss you out, but I choose not to. You understand me? So we it says we're God's children, not grandchildren. Nobody has graduated. You understand me? So I just want people to know God still uses me. He waited at the well. Like the same he did for the woman, he waited at the well because he knew Blossom's going to go to prison, but I would still wait here for her. Blossom's going to be out there fighting this.
I just want to jump in here real quick before we get too far away from this, because you're talking about some really good things. You talked about transparency. I love that you talked about the transparency, because when you can really tell your story and help, you are helping someone else in the room. And I have had to tell people that several times because they even told me, well, don't tell that. Well, don't tell that part. Well, you have to be careful who you're being transparent around. No, we have to tell it because someone is experiencing what we have gone through. They're probably going through it right now. And their abuser is telling them that nobody wants to hear from them. No one is going to believe them. And, you know, they just suffer in silence. And so the transparency.
And that's why I wrote the book, and they laugh, because I remember telling my abuser at the time, one time when he touched me, I said, I'm going to tell mama, and he laughed. I can still remember the laughter now, you know what I'm saying? I tell a lot of people, I'd rather get a lick than a word, because I've had some black eyes back in the days, but a word will stick with you for the rest of your life. So that's why we have to be careful of the things that we say. You understand what I'm saying? We really do. Also talk about in the book how I had a man to leave me for another man. This man was fine as all I know, but he still left me for another man. But something was done to him. You know what I'm saying? His manhood was snatched from him as a child. You know, we got little girls wasn't the only ones being molested. Little boys was too, you know. I've got a lot of male friends living in Atlanta, and our stories are so much alike. But only thing is, he's a male and I'm a female. You know what I'm saying? But you know, and so I've had people ask me, Blossom, who's your agent? I say God, because I'm gonna tell you one thing: the same energy I had when I was out there smoking crack, knocking on the dope boys' doors, can I come or do this or do that to get a hit of crack? It's the same thing I do when it comes to, can I come on your show and tell my story? Because I'm still a hustler, but I hustle for God now. So each time, like when I reach out to you, you didn't hesitate or anything. You know what I'm saying? It's about helping people. You got to put that pride and that shame down, because we got so many people out here that's hurting. You know, with the virus and everything, everybody having to stay in and all, mentally, you know, I've had to deal with mental issues. You know, I was in a rubber room for 3 days, didn't even know where I was. But when I came out and they took my shower and all that, and they showed me a picture of myself, I said, well, who is that? And that was me. Mental illness, you know, it's real. I want people to hear me. It's real. I'm not saying that, you know, back in the days, if they had an auntie that had mental illness, they would just put it in the back room and let her holler, you know, or that kind of stuff. But we got people that's walking around here with good jobs that is dealing with mental illness. Too ashamed to talk about it because we got that stigma. But, you know, if Elijah got depressed and he was a mighty prophet, we don't go through depression. You know what I'm saying?
Wow. That's a good one.
Yeah, Elijah had them broke out running. I'm paraphrasing the story, because she was after him. You know, think about what everybody going through. Some people lost their job, people, husbands or their wife walked out on them. You know what I'm saying? You got to worry about how you're going to discipline. It's called, you got to get yourself together. I went through an episode a couple of months ago, and I had to go back to start talking to a therapist. You know what I'm saying? She was a Christian woman, so I was getting both doses, the word and plus therapy. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'd rather sit on a couch than be sitting back in a jail cell where I'd have cut somebody or shot somebody, because I hadn't got to that point when I was on drugs. I got real violent. You know what I'm saying? I had so much anger down in me because people would not let me talk about me being molested. People told me to shut up. Oh, but let me take back. I also used it as a crutch too, because I wanted people to feel sorry for me. You know how some people go to the hospital like today and they'll still have the band on their arm on Wednesday, because that's somebody who wants sympathy. You understand what I'm saying? So that I was going through that kind of Now you done went to the hospital on Sunday. Why you still got the band on Wednesday? So you want somebody to say, girl, what happened to you? So until we deal with our issue, that's what it is. It's an issue. We got to stop saying problem. We have issues. And if we touch the hem of his garment, you know, we'll be healed. But we make things so hard. We make it so hard. You know what? There's nothing wrong with the throne. It's that cell phone. Because we will pick up the cell phone and ask somebody, what you think I should do, when we should go to the throne of God? That, we make it so hard. And I say we because it is a we thing. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, you know, I still had the clothes I had on the night God called me out the crack house. Was in there writing them a letter. I hadn't been up for like 2 weeks. I was so tired. But you know what? I had went to jail and I was facing some prison time. And I was ready. I was like, you know, I'm not going to pay these people. I'm not going to go report, because that's money that's coming out my pocket and I can go get high. So I was facing 9 years. And I was willing to go do the nine. Back when I did time, they was knocking off gang time. So off of 9 years, I did five to the dope. I was willing to do that because I got tired of being reported, not reporting and going back to jail, not reporting, go back to jail, you know. So my mom, she was like, Blossom, oh, you could do it. But you know what? Nobody know what they'll do until they in them shoes themselves. You know, you have so many people say, I would have did this. Girl, I did. You don't know what you would do if when you in that circumstance. So God bless you, showed me favor. I got out of there scot-free. And God walked out, and God bless you, I started going to church. And, you know, I had felt the goodness of the Lord, and I backslid. And I remember it was on my birthday, and I was sitting there drinking. I remember going to the window, and I was looking out the window, and I said, Lord, if it's your will that I get the gift of tongue, God anoint me right then and there. You know, I didn't have to do the tearing. It's a different way for everybody. God, like he told Joshua, he said, I'll be with you like I was with Moses. But that would mean that he was going to do the same thing as he did with Moses. He said, I'll be with you like I was with Moses. So that's how God did with me, you know. And so I was sitting in this dope house, and I was so tired. I mean, I've been up for 2 weeks. Just trying to get high, and it was a different high. I don't care how much dope I was smoking, and I was smoking, but it was like I couldn't get that high. And I started had a piece of paper and pencil in the purse, and I took it out and I started writing God a letter. Now I still was smoking and writing. You know, you have people talking, oh, you didn't throw the crack away? No, I didn't throw the crack away. I had to hustle that. What I was gonna throw it away for? You gotta be real about this, because I don't care how much I smoke. I don't care how much smoke I was smoking in. God was still in control over everything. He knew I was in the dope hole, in the projects, in Daytona Beach. You know what I'm saying? So the girl came back in. She gave me another hit. And I told her, I said, next time you see me, I'll be clean and sober. And she laughed. Unfortunately, she passed away. I've had a man that was HIV. Never told me he was HIV, but I'm sitting here today, 17 years clean, don't have AIDS, don't have HIV. Unfortunately, he passed away 10 years ago. And you have so many people want to make it seem like it was so science. Oh, your immune system was so strong. No, that was the blood of Jesus that covered me. Even when I wasn't looking out for myself, when trying to serve him, he still was looking out for me. That's the kind of God that we have.
Let me come in with this other thing right here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, your story is amazing. I mean, you, girl, we could be on this. I like to think of this as we just sitting on the sofa and we having courageous conversations. This is girl talk, right?
That's right.
And we could go on and on and on because that's how amazing your story is. You've been through so much. And I hate to even really jump in there because it's so much you don't even want to cut it. But I want to make sure that the audience understands that when you wrote that letter, and you left out of there and you became clean and you remained clean. You had,
yes.
You wrote your books. You kept your clothes that you had on that night just so you can remember where you came from. And
right.
You went on to do some amazing things. This is the part that I really like to make sure that I tell my listeners, because I don't want them to think that you get stuck in domestic violence. I know that, you know, drugs and all of those things came from the molestation, the stuff that happened to you as a child, which is a part of domestic violence, which is a part of family violence. They all go together. No one wants to really talk about those things. Just like you said, the molestation, back in the day, we never talked about it. What happens in this house stays in this house. No one was going to tell on the uncles and the stepfathers and the fathers and the aunties and uncles and all of those people. And so as a part of that, as a result of that, you begin to do these other things. As you got older, you begin to do the drugs and the promiscuity. Okay, I really can't say that word, but it got a little twisted. But all of those things that you were doing. And so when you walked away from the house that night, the crack house, this is what I tell my listeners, there's life after abuse. You then began to do all of these amazing things. You wrote books. Now, they didn't happen right away, but what I'm saying is, and you're going to take us through a little bit of that, but not only writing books, shows, going on radio shows, becoming in January of last year, you were sworn in to help veterans stay clean and sober. Like, you've been giving back. You've gone back and got certifications. You've done all of these things, and this is what I just try to tell people, that there is life after. We don't have to stay where these abusers and perpetrators have told us that we belong. We don't belong there. We
right.
have so much more to live and give. And just as you said, and you talked about how these things have happened to them as a child as well. And I often say that. We want to look at the man who's an abuser, right? We want to call him this horrible person. And the things that he's doing are horrible. But no one is talking about the little boy who was having bad things done to him. And then he grew up not being able to talk about it, not being able
right.
to process what was going on with him. And then he grew up thinking that this is how you handle conflict resolution, this is how you treat your woman or whatever. And so he begins to get into things, drugs, alcohol, all of those things. So that's what I wanted to really hone in on that you were talking about, because you made a valid point there. No one talked about the people who did these things to you. They were once children who someone was doing it to them.
Right.
And
right.
we definitely have to help them as well.
And I'm not taking up for people that, you know, that do. But you know what? None of us have a clean hand. None of us, you know.
No, no.
Because as a little boy, like I say, it's sad when a little girl goes through it. But when a little boy goes through it, that starts dealing with their manhood, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and like I said, we have to keep them in prayer as well. No, don't hate them. We just hate the sin, you know what I'm saying? We could be so judgmental at times, you know, and when I see somebody who's gone, when they talk about having a sex change, that, you know, that's it's still some root there. It's a root. And I keep saying that, like, you can live in the most prettiest house there is. And these are my thoughts, okay? I'm not no therapist or nothing like that. These are my thoughts. I want to make sure, you know, because like I heard you saying this in the beginning of your show, and I don't want to disrespect your platform. These are my thoughts. You can live in the most
That's
beautiful
right.
house there is, and each time you come, you see the branches and the leaves, and it just makes the house look ugly because the yard is ugly. But if you get out and cut the root of that tree, you won't have to worry about the branches and the leaves falling no more. So mine was molestation. Mine was alcoholic, because I started drinking when I was 5 years old. My great grandmother raised me, and she was raised that if a child has ringworms, you give them beer. So some children fall in love with a horse on the merry-go-round.
Wow.
And a play, and you know, in a parade, I fell in love with a horse on a can of Coke 45. That was my medicine, you know. But so like I say, you know, I think about all this stuff, and like I said, and God, he's just beginning, because I know he has. Jeremiah 29:11 is my favorite scripture. No, I don't care what we went through before, but we expect a great ending, not when we go to heaven, but here on earth. So like you said,
That's
you know, God
right.
bless me. On the TV show with Pastor Cliff Rodala, and I had a blast with him. You know, God allowed me to be myself, and Pastor Dollar allowed me to be myself. I'm sitting up there on the stage with a millionaire. Back in the day, I stole his shoes,
Ooh.
The shirts, and everything. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, 5 projects with TBN. And then, like I said, God bless me. I got this lead part in an upcoming film. I'm so excited about it. We started filming 5 months ago. We're going back on the set in April to finish it, the movie up. And the film is truly a blessing. It's called A Grandmother's Faith. And God has blessed me. When God calls you, he'll qualify you. I want y'all to hear me very well.
Oh, that
when
is
God
amazing.
Calls
yes.
you, he will qualify you. The team had called me because they had done my documentary. So we was talking about that, and then we got off the phone. I want to say about 45 minutes later, they called me back. They said, Miss Blossom, you know, at this time, I'm slobbing now. I was like, yeah, baby. They said, we getting ready to do it in Atlanta. And I'm saying to myself, oh, I said, baby, that's good. I'm thinking to myself, well, what that got to do with me, you know? So at this time, they said, we want you to play a part in it. So, you know, I sat kind of up. I said, who? Me? I ain't never acted a day in my life. One time I act when I was out there on the street trying to get what I want, my dope. You know what I'm saying? So they still talking about the story. When I tell you, it's powerful. And the young man who wrote it is about his grandmother. And unfortunately, she just passed away last week. They just buried her. And I said, you know,
oh,
Lord,
wow.
I want you, I ask for anointing to be able to do this part in remembrance of her. So y'all, please keep me in prayer. But so they kept talking. They said, Ms. Blossom, you're going to get paid, too. I sat straight up then. I said, wait a minute. Is y'all playing with me?
Now
so they had me. Okay, so they had me on speaker and people laughing. They said, no, ma'am. So I'm sitting there. I said, okay, so do I need to audition? And when this young man said this, the Holy Ghost just flowed. He said, no, ma'am, you got favor. And that's how I got the leading part in this upcoming film. Didn't have to audition or
wow.
nothing. So when we got out there, you know, they started making me up and putting the wig on me and all that kind of stuff. And I want you to know, it's something nobody could ever take away from me. You know, I've had babies, and when you have something that's given to you, it's like you want to hold on to it. Nobody can ever take, and that's how it is with this movie, because the young man who wrote it, he's talking about his grandmother. She's the backbone of this family. No matter what your family goes through, we all got to keep the faith, and that's just reality. We all got to keep the faith, you know what I'm saying? So it'll be coming out this year, and like I said, we're getting back on the set in April to finish up, but I'm telling you, God is just good, because I was up on the bridge in the backseat of my car living, and now look at God. I'll be in an upcoming film, so like I said, the best is yet to come. So for anybody who's listening or going through something, don't give up. I don't care. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not going to say you have not going to drop no tears. I'm not going to say you don't want to give up, but don't. Keep on pressing. And then God has blessed me. I'm a 501c3 from Under a Bridge, Safe Haven Home for Women. We're getting ready to have a big fundraiser event November the 4th because that'll be my 18 years clean. But the name of the fundraiser is Brick by Brick. And each brick that is purchased, their names will be engraved into the brick. And then when we build the home, we'll have a wall of bricks of people who did donations. So I'll keep you posted with that. But like I say, the best is yet to come. And I tell everybody, come from up under your bridge and live. Everybody got a bridge. I don't care what nobody say. Everybody got a bridge. Your bridge might not be mine and mine might not be yours, but everybody got a bridge. Come from up under that bridge and live. Everybody has a purpose. So that's blocking.
Well, you just said something right there.
Yeah.
That right
everybody
there.
Got
everybody
a
has a bridge. Come up from under your bridge and live. That right there, you need to get a T-shirt with that. You need to get that copy written. Because that
yes,
is
I'm
it right
you.
There. But I think this is wonderful. I did want to make sure that we talked about the bricks and talked about your safe haven for women, because I think that is a wonderful thing that you're doing, and we certainly want to make sure that we take a part in it. When is that a fundraiser? I think, did you say June or?
Yes, June the 4th. And I'm going to tell you one thing. It's not easy. I've had so many no's. I've had so many people say they're going to help. You know, but I got, and I can't, you know what, I used to get upset or used to cry when somebody would pull back. But see, the vision wasn't given to them. The vision was given to me. And I heard the Lord, what he told me to do, you know what I'm saying? So I had to separate stuff, you know. We got a season for everything. It's a season for everything. And the house is going to be built because God said so. So that's where I'm at right now. We got the land blueprints, the building permit. We've been approved by God in the city. We get to house 6 women instead of 3 women. And like I said, my bid I just got last year, the contractor said that they would build it for $150,000. That's a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, washer, dryer, kitchen, nook area. And the women could stay 8 to a year. So like I said, I got to stand still and see salvation of the Lord. And don't get weird. Just keep on pressing.
Oh, that is, whoo, Blossom. That is amazing what you're doing and what God is really doing in your life and helping others. This is something that's needed. I often tell people with my organization, I want to make sure, and this is what you're doing, I want to make sure that we're doing something after the person leaves. Because, you know, we're quick. And when I say we, I mean, you know, community, society, all of those people. We are so quick to say, leave, 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 leave. But then what do you have in place for her once she leaves or once he leaves or, you know, the children leave or whatever? We don't have anything for them to go to. And you have this place where you're building. They're going to be able to stay there 8 months, at least 8 months. And this is something that will help them to further along, because I know that you're going to have some programs and some different things that will take place while they're there. So I'm so happy about that. And then the whole movie thing, I'm super. I cannot wait for you to be in this project that you're working on. I think that is amazing in itself.
When I tell you, it's just sometimes when I wasn't on the set, I would just sit down, you know, go over my lines. And, you know, I was like, Lord, how am I going to remember all my lines? But you know what? When you got a group of people, and we would stay on the set, you know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, Lord, who would have thought that I would have been in a movie? You know what I'm saying? Now I got people that used to spit on me. I remember one time I got double teamed, but I put myself in that predicament, and they beat me. God knows they beat me. And one was beating me in my back, one was kicking me, and one spit on me. But you know what? God is good. He'll make your enemies your footstool. He'll prepare a table in the presence of your enemies. And he'll have a table where you sitting down, and they're watching you. So I have people that, you know, from back home, so proud of you, congratulations. But when I was out there smelling and skinny and wearing two pair of pants and all that kind of stuff, nobody wanted to be around me. You understand me? Nobody. But see, when God do the lifting, he's a head lifter, you know what I'm saying? So I thank God for choosing me for such a time as this. So I play Miss Maybelline Johnson, and girl, it was so hot out there. When they would say cut, I would snatch the wig off, and we had a young lady who was doing our makeup and everything. Girl, I sweated so I was wiping eyebrows off. They had to draw back on, but I had so much fun out there. So like I said, we're going back out in April to finish up everything. So God is just good. He is really good.
That's a good. I'm so happy for you, Blossom. And I love the story that you told. And I know it wasn't fun or anything like that while you were going through it. But I love how you tell the story so that people can understand and they can really put themselves there, because we have so many that are going through these things, and especially now that we were in the pandemic, and
right.
We know that while everyone else was being told to stay home and be safe, it wasn't safe for those who were experiencing domestic violence. And so for you to come on the hair and tell the story and tell how you overcame these things, and really that's what it's all about, is really overcoming. So I mean, our time goes by so fast.
I used to think that if a man didn't love you, he's supposed to beat you. I don't think like that now, but that's the kind of mindset I had. If he didn't beat me, he didn't love me. And it sounds sick, but that's the way it was. You know what I'm saying? If he didn't beat me, he didn't love me. So that's why a lot of women or men, because men are getting beat too now, you know. It's sad, you know what I'm saying? Because women are beating on men. But we can't re-raise these people. Once you're grown, you know. And when a person is beating on you or doing stuff like that, it's something, they're insecure about something. So if they can keep you down, that makes them look big.
Yes.
I don't know if that
Absolutely.
Makes sense or not.
No, that makes perfect sense. And here's the thing, too. Remember we just talked about those little boys who were growing up, and there's some things going on in their lives that's making them grow up and become abusers. Well, you have little girls growing up as well who are saying, hey, I'm never going to let this happen to me. And they become the aggressors. And when they grow up, they sometimes become the abuser as well. So, you know, it can happen either way. You can either become the victim of abuse, or you can become the abuser yourself. Or you could just, you know, praise God, it never touches you, it never happens, you know, it never affects you, and you don't get any of the residue.
Right, right.
So that's what happens. That's what happens with these girls as well. They grow up to be these women who become aggressive, and I've seen it. I've seen it in my own family. I mean, well, I always tell anybody anyway that, you know, my abuser was a female. My abuser was my mom, and so she was very aggressive. But, of course, had things happen to her in her life that caused her to be like that. But, of course, when
right.
you're going through these things, you're not thinking about this person had a bad childhood themselves. You're not thinking about that. You're just thinking they are doing something to me right now, and it doesn't feel good. But when you
right.
are able to think later on, you're able to forgive. You talked about forgiveness earlier. That is, yes, we absolutely must forgive those who have done us wrong and forgive ourselves as well, because
that's right.
it really affects
right.
us as well. So, you know, those are things that we have to keep in front of us. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness. And then you talked about having to go back to therapy. Listen, let me tell you, and everybody who knows me and everyone who listens to my show know, I keep Jesus and my therapist on speed dial, both of them.
That's right.
Okay? I cannot make it without them. And so going to therapy is nothing wrong. And here's the thing, especially when you find a good therapist that really works for you, and I tell anyone, well, I have a Christian therapist. I heard you say you have one. My therapist is saved, sanctified, and has even prayed over me during our sessions. That's how deep our sessions got sometimes.
Right.
But you have to find the one who works for you. And I'm telling you, your life will be so much better.
Yeah, that's true. You have to know. And don't be ashamed
yes.
of
yes.
it.
Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. So listen, I want to talk about just something really quickly before we get off, because I'm telling you, our time just, you know, just flies. And so we have a new segment of our show, and it's called Self-Care Sunday. And the reason why I'm calling it Self-Care Sunday is because, of course, we always talk about self-love and self-care and things like that on this show as well. But Sunday is really the beginning of the week. I know we always think Monday is the beginning of the week because that's when we go to work, right?
Right.
It's really Sunday. That's the beginning of the week. And so we really set the stage on Sunday for how our week is going to be. I think it really makes a big difference. And so for me, I'm going to tell you some of the things that I did, you know, this Sunday. Because self-care is really a big part of our life. It's for people who haven't been through abuse, but it's really important for those of us who have survived abuse. We really need that self-care. We have to do it. It's a part of us if we're going to make it and be good in this thing, right? So what I did is, for me today, I just relaxed. I had a nice cup of hot tea before. I got on the air to get me in a really calming mood. I took off tomorrow. Tomorrow is a holiday, but it's not a holiday, a paid holiday for my job. But what did I do? I took it as a me day. And so that's going to be a day that I'm just going to relax. I may not even get on my phone that day. I may not get on social media. I don't know how that's going to look, but it's going to be a me day. And so those are really important things to do for self-care. So tell us something that you do for self-care.
Let me see. Well, I have to work tomorrow. But all this week, God bless me, I have a TV interview in Atlanta. So I'll be getting prepared for that to pull out. Self-care, just meditating on what God wants me to say, because each show is different, you know. Let me see. For self-care, let me think. Because that's so hard, because we don't think about self all the time, you know.
Yes,
so,
yes.
So just work, going to work, and getting prepared for my TV interview in Atlanta. I think that's what I'm going to do.
Well, that's good. So some of the things that really, and this is what I always like to tell people, because self-care, I know we always think about, like, getting our nails done, our feet done, going to a spa. We think of those things, right? But self-care
right.
is something as simple as, just turning on your music and just dancing, you know, to yourself. It's something, sleep. We never think of self-care as being sleep, right? But when you
right.
just lay down in the middle of the day and take a nap, when your body is telling you, I just want to lay down, take that nap.
That's true. Because if we don't rest our body rests itself.
Exactly. Snuggling up with your pet, your favorite pet. That's a form of self-care. You know, so all of those different things we can do. Taking that hot bath. I know we quickly take showers because that's a quick thing to do. You know, we run in, we run out, our lives are so busy. But no, actually running that bath water, taking a nice hot bath, putting maybe some candles in your bathroom, some music or something like that, and just really relaxing. Those are self-care moments. And so those are some things that you could think of. Those are some things that the listeners can think of to do some self-care, because it's very, very, very important to do that. Okay? So here is where we're going to go, because we're coming to the end of our show. I really want to thank Blossom so much for coming. We talked about some heavy things today. We talked about domestic violence and some things like that. I'm sure even we have, like, things of suicide, depression, things like that. We talked about all of those different things. So I just want to give you all a few numbers to jot down if you need any kind of assistance. Our domestic, the National Domestic Violence Hotline number, which is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, is 1-800-799-7233. Again, that's 1-800-799-7233. And National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. They are available 24 hours a day. Again, that's 800-273-8255. Blossom, can you give them your information for how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, go to Facebook, Blossom Rogers. My phone number is 305-753-8164. Send me an email, BLOS, the number 2, white, at yahoo.com. Copy of the book for free. It's called Planting a Seed, From Under Bridge 1 and 2. Like I said, come from up under your bridge and live.
Look at that. Oh, my goodness. Oh, give them that information one more time on how they can get in touch with you so they can get a book.
Yes, ma'am. Reach out, Blossom Rogers, on Facebook or Instagram. My phone number is 305-753-8164. Send me an email, BLOS, the number 2, white, at yahoo.com. Once again, come from up under your bridge.
Thank you so much. That is amazing. Look at her. She is still giving, y'all. Still giving. This woman is just a blessing. I mean, she is such a woman of God. She talks about how God has blessed her, how he has delivered her from that lifestyle that she was living, and she continues to bless and pour out to others as well. So as we get ready, I'm going to give my final thoughts. Blossom, I know you just said come from underneath your bridge. Is that the final thought that you would like to leave with the guest, or do you have, I mean, with the listeners, or do you have anything else?
No, ma'am. And thank you again for letting me share this platform with you.
Oh, thank you so much. You're family. You can come on the show anytime you want, especially once your movie is ready. Please, we're going to definitely have you back so that you can tell us what's going on and how we can support you. Certainly, I want to make sure that we definitely support you and all that you do, because what you're doing is it's needed. It's amazing. Sometimes people come out of this situation and they never reach back. They just, you know, continue to move forward, but they never reach back and help others. And so I'm so grateful and thankful for what you are doing. So thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'm going to get my final thoughts. My final thoughts are, you know, I always tell you guys, I know how we always say to be kind to one another, but I really want to go a step forward. I want you all to be kind to yourself. And please don't ever, ever, ever forget that you are no longer a victim. You are more than a survivor. You are a thriver. Thank you so much to my Thriver Nation. You guys know that you can reach me on all platforms of social media. Make sure you like and share our YouTube page. Lady Michelle Speaks is our YouTube. What are we on? On Facebook, we are Michelle Jones-Austin. Instagram, we are Heal and Rebuild. And we got a whole bunch of things. I'm going to make sure it's all in the description so that I won't miss anything. I love you, love you, love you all. Love you, Blossom. Be sure to tune in next week. Yes, we are going to have another outstanding guest. And I'm going to make sure that this woman, this amazing, amazing soul, all of her information is in our description so that you can continue to follow her and help her. And make sure we get some of them bricks, y'all. We got to invest our money in what is, we got to put it back into the community, and we got to do it with stuff that we know is good ground. And this is good ground. So make sure you get your bricks. I'm going to get my bricks. Y'all better get y'all bricks as well. All right?
Amen. So, amen.
As we have our outro music, and we are just going to say goodnight for now, and I will see you guys on next Sunday. I love you all.
Lady Michelle. Uh-huh. I know what you've been through. You've been through. Don't think that it's only you. Your peace in your atmosphere.